Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mostly Spoilers. My name is Mike.
His name is Mike.
This is true.
It is.
Your name is Laird.
My name is Laird.
That's also true.
Yep.
And today,
we're starting off on the wrong foot because I managed to successfully confuse Mike within 10 seconds.
It's not an uncommon thing for you to successfully confuse me. It has happened multiple times since I've been here this evening.
This is true.
It's
my confirmation that today ends in Y.
Today does end in Y.
Yes, pretty consistently. The word today has always ended with a Y.
Oh, interesting. As does every single day.
That's true.
Because day ends with a Y.
It does.
Today we're going to talk about partially something that I just made you watch, which you did not enjoy.
I didn't.
But also, no problem, that's what I'm here to do. But also about the general theory of what it is we were kind of doing with it. So I made you watch the first episode of the show, Final Space.
Yeah.
Can you tell us briefly what you thought of the first episode of Final Space?
Are you sure I didn't watch the last episode of Final Space? Because I'm pretty sure that's the last episode of Final Space that I'm ever going to watch.
I feel like I'm going to figure out some way to make that not be true. But yes, it is impossible that you watch the final Space episode.
Yeah. It was aggressively mediocre.
Aggressively mediocre.
Yep.
What about it made it aggressively mediocre for you?
It was trying so hard to sell a premise that I just didn't care anything about. Like, yes, there's a very deluded space prisoner man, but I don't care about him, or what happens to him, or anything going on in his life.
But why do you not care about him in the way that you do care about, say, Rick and Morty?
Well, see, Rick and Morty, that's an odd choice to make for a show. Because Rick and Morty was actually pretty hard to sell for me as well.
Okay.
If I were just going based on the pilot of Rick and Morty, I wouldn't have kept watching the show.
Why?
Why? Because the pilot is kind of lowbrow and crass in comparison to the more innovative episodes that come on later.
Okay.
Like, you know, you immediately swing into the notion of what happens if dogs could talk and also had mechanized limbs and all this kind of thing. Juxtaposed with the admittedly dumber Scary Terry storyline. And really, before the first season was out, you've gotten to a lot of smarter stuff.
Right.
And just occasionally some subversive but really funny stuff, like the one where Rick faces off against the devil with science. That's the one that actually got me back into the show. I heard that episode and I was like, that sounds like a really funny premise, I'll go back. But, you know, the first episode is, you gotta stick them way up your butt, Mordred. That's the only way we can get them out of here. Right up your butt. I can't do it. I've done it too many times. Mine is just like a tube. It's just like a hallway. That's the first episode.
I think it's an interesting thing in that Rick and Morty, I feel like, probably plays a little more to a... It's funny. I don't want to say a wider audience than, say, for example, Final Space. I think Final Space is designed probably to be a little more generally accessible than Rick and Morty.
It's certainly more generic.
Right, but Rick and Morty, I feel like, probably has fans on very polar opposites
of
why they watch the show.
Most definitely.
Like, you and I watch it because we're like, that's the smartest and funniest thing I've ever seen. Like, to me, the episode where they keep going into smaller and smaller planets that are powering the larger and larger planets, it's insane. It's so funny. But then you also have people who are like, that's really funny that, you know, that alien does that thing. Which is much more, like, sort of...
Yeah, and then you have these so-called true Ricks, those people who are like, you know, I'm the truest Rick because I have the least care for the rest of humanity and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Very, you know, alt-right types.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
So actually, it's funny you said... So you said after the first pilot, it wasn't a show that you would really consider watching again.
Yep.
And this is something that I think really interesting. So for you in particular have a tendency to watch a show and then not watch any more episodes of that show.
That's true.
So what is it that typically makes you want to keep watching a show?
Either it's got a really smashing first episode, like something that's very hooking or has great characters or, you know, something about it compels me back based on the premise overall, or even just the execution, where it looks really nice, I might try it again. Or if I've given up on a part of the way through, it's because I've gone to Wikipedia, read the entire plot, and decided I wanted to actually see some of the moments I've just read about, because otherwise I would never come back to it ever again.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you ever pick and choose, like, oh, I saw on Wikipedia that episode 4 is good.
Sometimes, yes.
And so I know everything else, but I'm going to watch episode 4 because of this thing.
Yep, sometimes.
It's funny, I have a hard time not watching things I've started. Like, it really bugs me. Like, I generally will watch any movie that I've started, first off.
That's a horrible mistake.
I very rarely turn off a movie that I have started.
Transformers The Last Knight?
Transformers The Last Knight is one of a list of films that I have done that with.
And it's so bad.
It is so bad, and I've tried so hard. I've watched every other Transformers film.
Also a bad idea.
And have generally gotten what I expected out of them.
Trolled horribly?
No,
A waste of time?
I mean,
as much Michael Bay as you deserve?
Exactly as much Michael Bay as you deserve should be a Netflix category, actually. This category is exactly as much Michael Bay as you deserve.
I like the notion that Netflix's algorithm can determine how much you deserve.
Well, I think, you know, I grew up with Transformers. Like, I grew up, you know, when Transformers came out, I was someone who would attach themselves to that idea at that time. So I think for me, especially with the first one or two, there was the nostalgia. The idea that the same guy was voicing Optimus Prime was like, that's exactly the voice I wanted to hear every day for the rest of my life. The first episode, Megan Fox is not hard on the eyes in the first episode.
She's hard on the soul.
She's hard on all other parts of of the human psyche. But the eyes, everything turns out well. I'm actually a big fan, too, of Shia LaBeouf. I actually think he's pretty funny and pretty entertaining in most cases.
Creeping through the woods, Shia LaBeouf.
What? What is that?
You don't know that?
No, I don't.
We're doing that next.
Okay, so I will sometimes start watching a show.
I believe you.
And not keep watching a show, but I will rarely give up on a movie. And there's been a few shows that you've started me on, you've given up on.
Accurate.
And I have not.
Feels like you're talking about Dark.
I am 100% talking about the show Dark. Now, Dark is really strange. Stranger. It's one of the stranger things, more strange things, I will say, that I've seen in a while.
It's one of the more strange things you've seen in a while.
More strange things I've seen in a while.
Interesting.
But it's a show that I think, at the end of the first episode, you kind of go, okay, I would be interested to know more. Like, I would want to know more. You and I talked today about The Good Place.
Yes.
And how The Good Place has a really cool first episode.
It does.
And then a garbage fire of a second episode.
Almost literally.
Actually, literally. The interesting thing about that is we both know a whole bunch of people who watched, say, 2 episodes of The Good Place and gave up. Because they had a hard time getting back into it.
That's why I make people watch more than that, but yeah.
Yeah.
The second episode just, it doesn't work. And it bothers me because it so clearly won't work.
Yeah. The first episode and the rest of the season, and season 2, doesn't feel like an NBC sitcom.
Yeah.
And the second episode feels like, oh yeah,
it's just this comes so much on more transactional. And
it's so it's just so, I don't know, it's lame. It's just it's lazy.
Yeah.
Like, it relies on some visual gags to try to.
Yeah, I mean, let's be fair here. The show can pull off a visual gag like nobody's business.
Oh, there's some amazing ones. I mean, when Sean zips into his cocoon.
Oh, no. The best one, and I think possibly the funniest moment on TV that entire year. Janet, is that another cactus?
See, that to me is, you know, not the kind of visual gag I'm saying. I mean, that to me is classic. Actually, you laughed during Final Space at one point. There was one scene that you laughed at in Final Space, which was when he was saying, you don't even know what you have. And he's like, this is that. Mooncake? What's with mooncake? This? That. And that part I actually watched you laugh at. And I think that particular scene has the same kind of feel of like, Janet, will you give me the file? Do you have another cactus behind your back? No. Because if you have a cactus, I'll be really, really upset. No, I definitely have the file you're looking for. And then hands her a cactus. It's like, you see the strain on Ted Danson's face of like, I'm going to cry. Now, the worst part, the funny thing about that is at that point, it's, isn't he, we're not, you know what, we're not going to get into that
stuff. Nope.
Even though our show is called mostly spoilers. I don't want to totally spoil something from The Good Place. That's fair.
It's so good. Just don't.
You should watch The Good Place.
Yes, please.
Did you watch any more of Dark?
No.
No. So you brought me over here one night.
Yes, I did.
Got me to watch a subtitled German television show.
This is how I bring people over to my place. I'm then like, hey, sent how would me you home. Like to literally Netflix and chill?
Then sent me home.
Yes.
And then never continued to watch the show that you had made me watch.
People wonder why I'm single. This is what I do with my time. I'm going to invite my married male friend over to watch a subtitled German show that I have no interest in, then send him home to watch the rest of it. Could have been a girl.
Nope. Which I did.
Yep.
I actually went home. I stayed up late watching it.
The compelling powers I have could be used for so much evil.
The fact that you don't use these things for more evil is just... it's terrible.
Technically says wonderful things about my character, technically.
Technically, but very boring things about your character. So, I guess, like, say you were writing a TV show.
I was writing a TV show.
I hate him more than a little. So much. if you were writing a television show.
Which apparently I was.
All you did was set it. If you were writing a television show,
mm-hmm.
How would you make people continue watching past, say, pilot or episode one or episode two? Like, what to you are the things that?
Well, I think the thing about the pilot actually has an easier time. There's this concept like the, I'm sure you've seen it in music, the sophomore slump.
Yeah. Right?
The second album is the one where they have a hard time.
Yeah.
I think the same is true of TV series, not only on a seasonal level, but also in the episode structure, that episode two has to pick up the pace from the one that has just introduced you to everybody and managed to set off a premise so good you came back.
And pilots have a tendency... pilots are actually designed to do something different than episodes are.
Yes.
Episodes are designed to, hey, we have a season.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and tell our story. Mm. Pilots are designed to say, please let us make more of these.
Yeah.
And so you have to really pour so much into that.
You know, the guy who greenlit the Lost pilot was fired.
Really?
Yeah.
For greenlighting the Lost pilot.
Spent too much money. Network execs were sure it was going to be a complete disaster.
Whoever fired him, did they fire whoever greenlit the Lost finale?
I mean, I hope so.
Because that might be the most worst. Disappointing.
I got to tell you,
that's the most disappointing moment in television history to me.
It's definitely the worst season finale I've never watched, because I didn't watch Lost, because...
No. You're amazed. Did you watch any of Lost?
No.
Oh.
I was found, so as it were.
It has seasons that are a little weaker than others, but in general, it is exceptionally good. Except all of the good storylines that they pursue... they just let fall by the wayside and never actually close them in any significant way.
I guess a thing to explore, and I mean, we'd probably have to do this on a follow-up, just because I don't have access to any of my devices right now to start being picky about this, but
right.
Would be, is there a television show with a good second episode?
You know, it's funny. I used to have a radio show on... Radio Acadia, and
then he had a second episode.
It was called The Fourth Track, because I had this theory that the fourth track of an album was almost never a single, but was often one of my favorite songs of the album.
Okay.
And the fourth track, I mean, if you think of a baseball analogy, your cleanup hitter is kind of your home run hitter.
I understand everything you just said.
Now, for some reason... They never released a lot of these, but some of these fourth tracks on these albums were just so good. I couldn't understand why, you know, you'd have four singles from an album, and this would never be one of them. But I wonder if there are any good second episodes.
I don't know. Like, I was just thinking of shows that, sort of popped to mind right away. Obviously, The Good Place was one where, no, there weren't. Like, right. That was bad. I was actually watching the DuckTales relaunch with a friend the other day.
Now, you earlier were saying that the reason you're single is because you've
been
watched.
Many reasons.
But let's
there are many
carry
reasons.
On with watching the DuckTales reboot.
It's the second time I've seen it.
The second time you've seen the DuckTales reboot?
Well, the first episode of the DuckTales reboot.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
There's obviously more times I've seen the DuckTales reboot.
I apologize.
Several episodes.
Continue.
He's grinning so widely right now.
Continue.
He's enjoying this immensely. Anyway, I was rewatching that, and I was like, well, the first episode is actually a pretty solid premise statement. But the second one, and you know what? I think this actually might be an exhibit in miniature, because the second one is about Dewey, and Dewey trying to get Scrooge McDuck's admiration and trying to get noticed by him when Scrooge doesn't care enough to actually learn his name. And I was like, you know, this right here might be the problem, because the bulk of episodes in a given television series, particularly American television series, I don't think British ones have that kind of time, and we've talked about this earlier, but the bulk of episodes seem to be, and to the point that Wikipedia will actually sometimes like list, have a focus character.
Right.
Like, this is the person who we're bringing to the limelight this week. And because that has to start somewhere, the point where that starts is the point where the show immediately kind of drops off.
Interesting.
And you're like, ugh.
Well,
because you're not focused on the ensemble as much. You are focused on one person's one problem.
If I pull that back to Heroes.
Okay.
Heroes has that concept.
Yeah.
Whereas they start to go through, each episode becomes a new character. And then you start weaving those characters. There is a heavily focused... Each episode in the beginning has a very strong focus.
I want to say like three characters at least. Like it's they really do. Now, episode two of that one is the one where they introduce Matt Parkman.
Right.
Yeah. This might actually be one of the ones that maybe breaks the curse, because that first episode, just because of the fact that you have Matt Parkman there, and you have Greg Grunberg interacting with Clea DuVall, who I really wish they'd made more use out of as that show went on. That would have been fantastic. She was lots of fun.
Well, as the show went on, the show got...
Oh, yes. But I mean, like, the opening of that episode is them investigating the murder scene.
Right.
And that introduces us to, you know, the murder suspect, Molly Walker, the powers, the mind reading... All of that is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's really good. That might actually be art, but I was thinking of Star Trek The Next Generation. Star Trek The Next Generation has a pretty weak pilot.
Which is... the pilot is Farpoint?
Yes.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, technically speaking, the second episode is Farpoint.
It's the second
part
half
two.
Of Farpoint Station.
But let's say it's not for a moment.
Assuming
let's
it's
go
not.
To the first one that wasn't part of the two-hour original broadcast. The first episode after that...
Yeah.
Is a sequel to the original series, The Naked Time, which was about the Polly Water making everybody drunk and Engineer O'Reilly going down and putting the ship into hyperspace because he's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's called The Naked Now. And it's, once again, Polly Water intoxication makes the crew drunk and Data has sex and gets intoxicated.
Is that when Data has sex with Yar?
That's the one.
Now, that's my favorite episode. It's not really my favorite episode, but when Yar says to him, like, are you fully capable? And he says it, and she's like, uh-huh.
He actually says he's trained in certain techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he just casually highlights it, you know? It's just like a beat.
So that's, I mean, that's another...
Mind you, that whole first season was just...
For a show that I really love, it's funny. I tried to go back and watch, because they have Star Trek Next Generation on Netflix.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, cool, I'll go back and watch from the beginning. And I remember that, no, actually, the beginning is not great.
It's the opposite.
And as the seasons go on, it to me gets actually much, much better.
Season 3. Season 3.
What's the arc on season 3?
I mean...
Or what's some of the basic...
There's lots of stuff, but it's the one that ends with Best of Both Worlds.
What's Best of Both Worlds?
The Borg invasion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
Actually, you know what? I think. Sorry to cut you off.
No, no.
I want to say season 5. Season 5 has a lot of really wonderful stuff.
And what's season 5's?
Season 5, I mean, I don't remember any one specific arc from it, but I just remember, like, individual episodes, like Darmok was in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that was early on.
Darmok is a That's a great...
They use that in archaeology class to teach about, like, the formation of language.
It's brilliant. And also, the idea that...
And it's still so entertaining.
It's so raw.
Yeah.
It's just... there's very little on the whole episode. It's not just them...
Yeah.
...sitting on that aisle, on that rock.
And it's marvelous.
Like, yeah. It's fantastic. I'm a big fan of a lot of the stuff that goes into Worf's family, like the sort of Klingon honor and those kind of things.
I mean, there was definitely some of that in season 5.
Yeah. I love the stuff that goes into it. There's actually an episode I really, really enjoy, and I don't know what season it would be in, where Worf is hit with, like, a barrel, and it breaks his back.
Oh, yeah, that's toward the end.
It breaks his back, He basically has decided, I'm not going to do the surgery.
Yeah.
And they bring his son and stuff. And I think that episode of, like, this idea of, like, him growing as a character to be able to put all of that stuff aside and do this for his family is, like, it's fantastic. My thing is, I'm trying to think, I don't know if I always remember. I mean, I don't have a great memory, so I struggle with, like...
I actually liked the discommendation.
Which one's that?
Kempek convinces him that even though there's strong evidence that Duras is a murderer,
yep.
And betrayed the Klingon society to the Romulans, his father will have to take the blame in order to keep Klingon society together.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell
his
truth.
His decision to do that is like...
You can tell the truth, or you can shatter your home world, which you don't even go to. You know.
And he doesn't.
If you lie and save us, we will exile you. And the concept of the ceremony itself, because for a really bloodthirsty society, they're very rote with their ceremonies.
Yeah.
And the marvelous choreography and speed with which they do the discommendation, I don't know if you remember the action, but it's the cross with the arms over the chest and the turning away.
Yep.
And it's like dominoes. They have it so smooth and precision.
Yep.
And the funny thing is, I have to believe, I mean, someone will tell me I'm wrong. I'm sure I'm wrong, but I have to believe, nonetheless, that Dr. Beverly Crusher was involved in that. Gates McFadden, before she was Dr. Beverly Crusher, was a choreographer. If you actually watch the special features on the Labyrinth DVD, she is one of the choreographers who can be seen in the magic dance scene working with David Bowie.
No way.
Yeah. That's what she did.
I really like all the stuff that has to do with Worf. I like the stuff with Data as things went on, as they start to...
I mean, Worf has no peers.
Right.
Yeah. I harbor no assumptions about Worf having any peers.
See, what happens is, Laird makes a joke, and I don't know what the joke is, so he repeats the joke while looking at me with a slight smirk on his face, until he eventually says it enough times that I get the joke. And
like, I'm just
if
saying,
you
that
have
the
friends
bay,
that irritate
you, realize
you,
that you can't harbor any assumptions that Worf has any peers.
Oh, God. It's a nautical joke. It's a nautical joke.
Well, it's not a doc joke.
Well played. So I'm trying to think, like, I'm thinking of, like, shows I've watched. I think things are changing now because of, for example, Netflix.
Sure.
Netflix... The shows that come out on it, they know they've got a season because they filmed a season.
Yes.
Like, they already know. So you don't, I think, have to have that same shift between the pilot and the first episode. I mean, you think of something like Stranger Things. Stranger Things doesn't have a huge, in season one, does not have a huge shift from the pilot to the rest of the series.
True.
I think it's a pretty, I mean, it ends on a pretty... The first episode ends pretty seriously.
Yes.
On a really great scene. And then it does a good job, I think, going with it from there. So I think maybe the shift in the way that television's being both recorded and consumed is maybe changing that kind of concept.
I mean, again, that's got kind of format where, like, in Stranger Things, you don't have character-focused episodes in that way. You just don't. This is more of a long-form kind of...
I'm trying to think of what else you have that
American
around.
Churn...
I mean, Lost for sure did that. Lost, quite literally, each episode had a particular character. It was
all the Treks did. That was just a common thing.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else.
For DS9 fans, Jadzia Dax basically had no focus episodes ever.
How I Met Your Mother.
We had more.
How I Met Your Mother doesn't have that per se, because it has such a small cast.
Yeah, although occasionally it does. Occasionally, I mean, like, for example, you have, like, the Robin Sparkles episode. That's more about Robin.
Right, or when they go back to Minnesota.
Sure, Lily's parents, Ted's parents, Minnesota.
But it doesn't have that same kind of, like, now we're going to tell a Ted story, or now we're going to tell a this story.
Generally.
I'm thinking of even of Friends, if there's that really...
Friends, the thing would be that they'd have usually an A plot, B plot, and C plot.
Right.
And generally speaking, when they were doing that, it would be pairs of characters pairing off.
Yeah.
And so it would be less of a focus on a given friend than on an interaction.
A duo
and
that or was an interaction at that time.
Yeah. I was actually just watching some clips from that earlier today, really. Huh. Specifically, there's about to be a sneeze on the recording.
I can't wait. Bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Bless you, sir.
All right, and that's how we added a sneeze. Specifically, it was how every member of the gang finds out about Monica and Chandler.
Oh, okay.
And the actual sequence of that is still really funny. Like, for a show that degenerated a lot with later seasons, that was probably around season 6. And it was still really funny.
Yeah.
Because the first realization is when Joey finds an eyelash curler in Chandler's things after his weekend away. And Chandler's like, oh, yeah, that's mine.
Right, yeah.
And for Joey's first response is like, I thought you, like, spent the weekend with a girl, and maybe it was hers, and it just got into your things. Oh, yeah, that would have made more sense. And then later on, and it's, like, toward the very end of the episode, they're completely separated, Monica just happens to casually mention, hey, Rachel, do you have an eyelash curler? I think I lost mine. And Joey's eyes go so wide. Like, Matt LeBlanc sells it, so he just, oh. Yeah. Joey, can I see you for a moment in the other room? Just yoink.
Yeah. It's really, it's funny, like, my wife is a big Friends fan. And so she's watched the whole series a number of times. And there are things I really love about it and things I really hate about it. But
I have
some
to say,
of the ways they put things together is sometimes very, very good.
There's a really good YouTube video that ruined Friends for me.
Which is?
Black people watch Friends for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just like, it's not really funny. And I'm like, you know, it's not really funny. And I mean, granted, it was the first few episodes, but still, I was like, yeah. How
I guess
did
it's
this kind of...
Yeah. And it was a call... I mean, it was a phenomenon.
Yeah.
Like, it was the biggest thing.
There wasn't a thing like that at that time. Yeah.
No. I mean... And it's funny, actually, because there were a few series that came out during that period of time that became, you know, because of, I think, the fact that there were less channels, less options, etc.
True.
These shows took more things. I mean, you had Seinfeld really... doing it at a similar time.
Yeah.
Albeit with probably a very different audience.
Yes.
I don't know a lot of people who would consider themselves both Seinfeld fans and Friends fans. I think they're a very separate kind of ilk. I think it might have been you, or it might have been just me seeing on the internet, about talking about the original storyline, how Ross and Monica were not supposed to be brother and sister.
Really?
Was it you that told me?
It was not me.
So the original storyline was that Ross and Monica were not supposed to be brother and sister. They were just supposed to be friends. But Ross was such an unlikable character.
They had to find an excuse to get him into the group?
Yeah, because they said, look, if Ross and Carol break up and everyone's just friends, everyone's going with Carol. Because Ross is the worst. So they were like, how could we keep this part of it together? We'll just make them brother and sister.
There you go.
And it's funny. I feel a little bit bad for David Schwimmer. Because I think he does a very good job of playing that character as they've written him.
Yeah.
But that is a wholly unlikable character.
Completely. Yeah, like he's...
He's a bad guy.
Every quality exaggerated to the point of unlikability. There's really no moment where I'm kind of like, hey, you know who I'd like to hang out with right now is Ross Geller. Like, I am now actually older than those characters were supposed to be at the start of that show.
Right.
And I can conclusively say, I would have never hung out with, like, I can never conceive of an age in my life at which I would go, You know who's an admirable fella is Ross Geller.
Ross Geller. There's the thing about that too is like every other character has some horrible traits.
Yes.
Like, they are each a caricature in some major way. And but they also are balanced with, like, for example, Phoebe, you know that's going to make a lot of noise on this recording. Phoebe, Laird has been doing ridiculous things with his hands this whole thing. He's currently setting up a catapult slingshot using a carpenter's pencil and an elastic band.
In fairness, it should be pointed out, I'm not a carpenter.
This is true.
So where did I even get this?
Exactly. I mean, they don't give them at a carpenter school. It's just called a carpenter's pencil.
Sure, but where would I have gotten this one?
I would guess Rona.
Would I have ever gone to Rona?
You gotta run to Rona.
Would I have ever run?
Their ad. You would have never run.
There we go.
So, every other character, like, as vapid as Rachel can be, she's also very sweet and very caring. Mm. And, like, as strange and as kooky as Lisa Kudrow can be...
Phoebe. Yes.
She is one of the nicer characters in the show. And, like, Joey is the best friend you could imagine. I mean, he's a horrible human being, but he's such a good friend. And I think we've all had friends that are like that, where you're like, you're not good, but you're also a great friend. And so I think all those other characters leave you a reason to be around them, except this is a very distracting tenuous moment, as he just has this thing pointed at me. So, you know, Ross is the only character where you're like, you've got nothing. Yeah. There is honestly, you have a monkey. The only moments. Reason I would ever hang out with him is because he had a monkey. That'd be it.
Does not sound
like I would use him for his monkey.
The best character, really, the character with the best moments is consistently Chandler. And Matthew Perry brings it every time, which is amazing because he was on drugs for half of that.
He was on drugs for a huge portion of that. That didn't make also, as much
noise as you thought it would.
It didn't make a ton of noise. It made enough noise. It's funny, actually, to watch the physical changes in Matthew Perry as that show goes on.
Yeah.
Because there's years where you're like, that's probably heroin or cocaine, because you weigh 73 pounds. And then the years where you're like, oh, he's sober, because he is way overweight.
Yeah.
And I think the interesting thing about Matthew Perry is that I think most people would have thought that he and Jennifer Aniston would have been the successful people really coming out of that. And to a certain extent, I think they probably were. His first few things post-Friends were quite good, because he basically was playing Chandler in anything that he played. You're wrong about anything you're going to suggest right
okay,
now.
Okay, well, no, I'm just going to... Instead, I'm just going to ask you, give me an example.
The Whole Nine Yards.
Was a really bad movie. Oh, my God.
He was very funny in it. Bruce Willis was very funny in it. The other one that I actually really enjoyed is the one with him and Selma
Hayek. Also, that
Hayek.
Wasn't post-Friends. That was during Friends.
Well, it was towards the end of Friends.
No.
It was as he was getting...
No, it wasn't. I have exact proof. I don't even need to...
Why? You
know, because Bruce Willis appeared in Friends. Bruce Willis appeared in Friends after losing a bet to his Whole Nine Yards co-star, Matthew Perry.
Really?
Yes.
And that was like season six-ish?
Five or six-ish.
Oh, okay, midway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, fine.
That was easy.
Most of the other points I had on that thread are now moot.
Yes.
So...
I was going to say, his television work afterwards, he keeps giving opportunities, and they keep being really solid opportunities, and it's just that, even though he's actually showing his range as an actor, I feel like people are just coming looking for more Chandler, not realizing that they'd get tired of that, and furthermore, that just what he's been giving opportunities in is a little bit too, you know, like Arrested Development, they said that it's too smart for people?
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit too highbrow. Right. One role in which I really enjoyed him, and he wasn't kept long enough because this show could never keep its side characters organized, was The West Wing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he played a Republican lawyer, joining the staff for a little while.
Yeah.
He was quite good in that one. Another one in which, yet again, he played a Republican lawyer, except this time slimy, was a brief appearance, and it was way too brief. They could have used so much more of him in The Good Wife, where he played a really slimy lawyer who became an antagonist immediately. And in his antagonist role, he was brilliant. It was perfect. You couldn't believe how just devious and underhanded in a completely subdued and downplayed manner he was. It was right. fantastic. And what a waste.
I think it's hard for a character... I think it's hard for an actor who has basically had their career in a role to come out of that.
Was he in Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, I want to say?
I believe he was, actually.
Go On was another one that only was sitcom lasted one season.
Yeah.
That was never going to go places, though. The supporting cast...
He was in a few movies and stuff. He just... But I think that what happens with those... I mean, here's an interesting thing. So there's this movie that I... cannot remember the name of.
He took my carpenter's pencil.
I did take your carpenter's pencil.
It was unwarranted and cruel.
I'm going to stab you with it if you find something else to shoot at me. I swear to God. You'll get lead poisoning.
That's graphite, you dum-dum.
You'll get graphite poisoning.
That's carbon, you dum-dum.
So, one of the things that I find really interesting is that as much as David Schwimmer is an idiot in Friends,
yeah,
I think that most of that is actually the writing of the character. They wrote an unlikable character.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, like, I saw him in the pilot episode of Band of Brothers, where he plays a character who is intensely unlikable. And this is actually a real historical person who was intensely unlikable. And I have to say, he completely brought that show down as well. He was terrible.
There's a movie he's in where he is with...
There is, actually. I remember seeing this movie, and it...
I swear to God.
This is true. There's a movie he was in. And it required...
I'm going to kill him. Carry on.
I haven't slingshotted anything.
Carry on.
What do you think I'm going to do?
Carry on.
Okay, fine. Anyway, there's a movie he's in, and it really required him to focus on the neurotic side of his personality. He was working with a famous Jewish actor who was playing against type, and the two of them were required, and it was really like a really small cast, really. It was kind of a focal cast. There were only really six principals, I want to say. Maybe seven, arguably. But, you know, every interaction he had...
He's doing it again where he's going to make a joke, I think. I'm not sure.
You know, and eventually he had to connect with his neuroses in an environment that he was very uncomfortable in and sort of find himself with an unlikely love interest and manage to bridge the gap between their two cultures and make that work.
Is this Madagascar?
It might be Madagascar.
I swear to the Lord... the movie I was thinking of, I still don't remember the title of, it was not Madagascar, but I was thinking, I was like, Jewish, and I was like, Ben Stiller, oh my God. The movie I'm thinking of, he's in with Jason Lee, and Jason Lee basically plays the lovable character, and Ross plays a womanizer.
Who?
Who's like, David Schwimmer.
Thank you.
Who's like, cool in the movie, he's like, too cool.
Talk about typecasting, and in real life.
I basically spent the whole time just being like, Ross isn't that cool, and it kind of ruined it for me. It made it very difficult for me to watch.
I'm just going
to
point out you're not going to turn blue.
I know I'm not going to turn blue. You're the blue one.
He's severely concerned about this, though. Like, did you know that?
I don't like being shot with things. It makes it very difficult for me to focus.
Right, that's the only thing I do that makes it difficult for you to focus.
And this is true.
Ow, that was accidental.
That actually hurt.
You saw that was excellent.
I'm taking away all of his toys. So coming back a little bit to the show rather than all the things that he's doing, I really liked Final Space. I, albeit, watched more episodes than you did. I'm at about episode 7,
I believe.
Does
it ever get better?
They introduce some new interactions that I think are really interesting. And... yeah, I like it. At the beginning of episode 1, it says that he has 10 minutes to live, right?
Yes.
So each episode...
He lived longer than 10 minutes.
He's sort of this...
I was really disappointed.
Well, it's a flashback, idiot. Each episode, he has another one of those at the beginning of every episode. And it's like 9, 8, 7, 6, all the way down. And I find it's an interesting thing where you have the story coming in one direction, and you have that countdown coming in the other direction, and you're trying to predict how those things collide.
I see.
And some of the things that happen, they actually tell some interesting stories of it, I think. And there's some just funny, slapsticky kind of stuff.
Why he doesn't eat the cookie crumbs off the floor?
Because he's not an animal, Laird.
Yes, he is.
Oh, he's not. He's Captain Gary.
That's one lie you've told.
He's... Gary, we've talked about this before. You are not the captain of the ship. You're a prisoner. What is a show that you watched the first episode of, were pumped for, and then were just wholly disappointed with the show? Like, what's an episode that you were like, that was great, the rest of this really sucks?
Wow, that's a good question.
That's why I asked them.
I don't know, okay.
I am letting you think, but it makes for some pretty dead air. So you keep making that deep breathing sound. And
I suppose, really. Well, I can't say I was huge pumped for it, but Friday Night Dinner, would we've talked about before. Right. And I was like, okay, well, if each episode were different from this, I would be enjoying it more.
Yeah.
Each episode is not different. It's a great one off. So.
And then it just happens the same over and over again.
Yeah, it's garbage. Yeah. So arguably that in a sense. But I think.
The IT Crowd is actually a show that I got.
I felt the same way about that one, actually.
The IT Crowd, I was like, this is really cool. Imagine if they did different jokes every episode. And every episode they just come back with the exact same jokes. And the worst part about that is that that cast is fantastic. They're so funny.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're just wasted by just being like, why don't you just make the same joke again?
I feel like, I mean, obviously there's some anime series that have gone that way where I'm sure. Kind of like, you know, this is a wonderful premise, but somewhere along the way, having to do the second episode, I'm just like, no, this now doesn't work.
I have one that I actually really, really liked. Maybe not even the first, maybe more than just the first episode, but in general, it died on me really quick, was an AMC show called Hell on Wheels.
Okay.
Which was about this guy sort of getting payback on the people who hurt his family during, I believe, the Civil War is the timing of it.
Okay.
It has a stellar cast, like a really, really interesting cast of, like, character actors. Commons in it. He's actually an actor that I really, really love. But it just, you start out with like, man, this is going to be so exciting. And then most episodes are just like, building a railroad, eh? And it's just really mind-numbingly slow for something that seems like it's going to be so energetic and so high energy.
I mean, I guess the problem for me when looking at this question and wondering about second episode drop-offs is, of course, I don't tend to watch the second episode.
You don't tend to watch the first episode.
Also true. I really have to be blown away. And
yeah.
Generally speaking, I have some amount of warning that the second episode is going to suck, so...
Right, so you, yeah.
And I watch, for the most part, a lot of short-run series that just can't really afford that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's, I mean, I think that's one of the things that I'm liking about, you know, as we talked about before, watching British shows.
I watched Ozark.
Oh, okay.
Ozark was, I mean, it has a very explosive first episode.
Very much so.
Very. And then it just kind of goes places that I get increasingly apathetic about.
How many episodes did you watch?
All of it.
You watched all of it?
Yes.
I think that Ozark has a very... it starts very high. And then I think it really just drops... It drops off after about episode 2 or 3. It kind of just goes way down. And then I found it actually went back up for a little while.
I got one.
And then it... I was so disappointed with the ending of Ozark.
It was
awful.
It's so bad.
It was very bad. Right before that, the lead-up, spoiler alerts, when the FBI agent comes and is playing the brother.
Yeah.
I think that's great TV. Like, I think that whole section of it...
They just throw away so much for nothing.
And then to just do what they do at the end of that season is just hot garbage. I swear I will kill you. You said you got one. What's the one you got?
Defenders. First episode ends with the earthquake over all New York. Like, that's... We got Sigourney Weaver set up.
You went into Defenders knowing you were not going to like Defenders.
Oh, sure. I'm just saying that as a relative proportion...
All right.
Right? At the end of the first episode, I was like, there might be some hope for this. At the end of the second episode...
I don't believe you ever thought that, because that? You knew that Dan... No, you cannot believe that.
I need this. I'm not going to give you this. I will trade you.
No, I get it first. I'll give you the pencil, but I'm taking the rubber band first.
What if I put the rubber band in a neutral position?
Like my hand.
That's not that's the opposite of neutral.
But sure, put the rubber band there.
Okay, here. I will put it over there. You will give me the pencil. Actually, I don't need the pencil. I can deal with this. What are you gonna do? I need you to stay very still. There we go. Perfect. Good. There was a sparkle on your forehead.
There was a sparkle on my forehead.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me for 30 minutes.
Now I have the elastic and the pencil.
That's true.
You can't imagine what I'm going to do to this man.
Yes, I
can. The thing about that is I don't think that's an entirely fair one because you knew that 25% of defenders sucked.
That's true.
You physically knew.
Even more than that ended up sucking.
Damn, you and I talked about some good things about defenders.
It ended.
The color scheme in the restaurant, the colors in this restaurant scene, and the restaurant scene in general was quite good.
Yeah, it probably won't get a second season. That's awesome.
Will it not get a second season?
I don't know. Probably not.
I mean, Luke Cage got a second season.
Yeah, but Luke Cage was
Luke Cage was pretty was a half good. Yeah, and the new season, he's got a. I can't work under these conditions. He is making a robot suit out of Coca-Cola can boxes.
Nonsense. That is untrue.
So Laird has been complaining for weeks that we haven't had a chance to record. And when we have had a chance to record, apparently he started the evening with cocaine.
Can you not read?
Defenders Coca-Cola.
There we go.
Formerly cocaine. So Defender, I can't take Defenders because you 100% knew
What is an example for you? You pick something.
A show that I really liked the first episode for and just it died for me. I can't think of anything just because I don't have a great memory. I don't think that there's something that I've watched that has fallen apart for me that way, but I can't think of anything specifically. I know there's been things. He's pretending to be a robot boxer.
I'm boxing.
He's a boxer because he's wearing boxes on his arms. I swear to God. So I can't think of anything in particular. Maybe I don't know. I have a tendency to just keep watching things if I start watching them. There's very few things that I
gotta tell you though, you know what the best part is with the podcast format?
What's that?
They don't know whether or not you're telling the truth.
That's true.
They have no proof whatsoever.
This could be just me throwing my voice as well.
Absolutely.
Just one guy who's mastered the art of ventriloquism.
And gone completely delirious.
And gone completely insane. You know what? Honestly, it would have been a better way to record this episode. I'm kidding. I don't know. I think I'm trying to think of something that was really that way for me. It would probably be a comedy. Like I could see. Oh, you know what? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yes.
Agents
yes,
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
100%. 120%.
I watched the first episode.
Yep.
And I was like, cool. I'm interested to see where this goes.
Yeah.
And then it went there. And I was amazingly bored.
Yep.
Now, apparently, it went on to go in really great places. And actually, I have another one right after this.
It went on to go?
I heard that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ended up doing some very interesting things.
Okay.
But the real kicker for me was Flash, the spinoff from The Arrow.
Okay, yeah.
My wife and I love Arrow.
That's true.
Like the Stephen Amell Arrow, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Especially when you compare it to the previous attempt.
It is surprisingly good. And you look at it, you're kind of like, I still remember my first reaction. My first reaction was, no, this shouldn't work. This should not work.
It 100% does.
Yes, but like, you're just kind of like, this is Green Arrow. It should not work.
No, it shouldn't. And I'm not a big DC guy. I don't like DC generally at all. But I loved Arrow, and when the guy came on to play the Flash,
Sebastian Shaw.
When Sebastian ran fast,
yes.
I thought, okay, that's actually a really believable Flash. Like that's a really interesting character. They did an interesting way of coming about it. Like I was happy with all those things. And then I tried to watch the Flash, and I've never been bored. There's another one that I...
Now, I want to ask you about The Flash, because I've watched more of The Flash than you.
Sure.
You watched the first episode.
Yep.
Did you care for the first episode? It was okay? It was nothing...
I wanted to care for the first episode.
Yeah, but it was
I liked the cast. I liked, you know, the guy from Law & Order.
Yeah.
Loved him.
Did you watch the second episode?
I did not end up even... Okay. I think I watched maybe 10 minutes of the second episode.
The second episode is like, bad. Yeah. The third episode is bad. What you need is the fourth episode.
Okay.
The fourth episode of that show is where things start getting magic. The fourth episode introduces...
I've heard it's one of the better series of all those kinds.
It is. And the thing is this. The fourth episode introduces a character from the comics who's got a name I can't take seriously. And this is one of Flash's arch nemesis.
What's his name?
Captain Cold.
Captain Cold.
Captain Cold, alias Leonard Snart.
Okay, yeah, Leonard Snart.
It's not even a good
story. Not better when you use his real name.
No, it's not. They cast Wentworth Miller, the lead from Prison
Break. Oh, yeah.
As a methodical, cold, personality-less criminal who plans these heists. And he steals...
Wasn't he in Arrow as well?
Probably at some point.
I think he... Yeah.
And he steals a freezing gun. Experimental freezing gun. And starts using it in his crimes.
This sounds an awful lot like another character in the DC universe.
Oh, almost certainly. DC's very repetitive. But here's the important thing. Because in Flash, they have this thing where they have to give the nickname to the bad guy. Right? Like, they have Cisco Ramon, who gives the nickname to the bad guy. Because he's just like, I'm a nerd, and this is the kind of thing I would do. I would call him that. They confront him right when he's about to basically kill the Flash. And he's got the cold gun trained squarely on him. He's got a bunch of stories. And they bring out this bigger cold gun, supposedly, and they aim it at him. They're like, your move, Captain Cold. And the reaction is what sells it to me. Because he just looks up at the sky with the biggest grin on his face like, yes, I have always wanted a supervillain name. He doesn't say anything. It's all face acting.
Yeah.
And he just lets it go and walks away. And for the rest of the series, he is gleefully celebrating his moniker as Captain Cold. He just like, I don't even care. I am so happy. This is my supervillain. Yeah.
What the other one actually? So maybe it's superhero shows that really do it for me. The other one is DC's Tomorrow of Mysteries
Tomorrow of crap is crap.
Something.
Yeah.
But when they introduce all the people,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, I like all of these people. And you sort of feel like if you
didn't do that.
I swear to God, you can't have anything. So, I feel like one thing that... There's another one of those. What are you doing here? He's got the pencil back. I have the elastic. I'm going to do that thing where you snap it on his arm and it really hurts. I think for the rest of... I wanted those characters to work so badly. And I wanted it to work so badly. And it just straight up didn't at all. Yeah. Like, they never gelled at all in any way.
It makes me unhappy.
It was bad. So, I guess the thing from all of this is that first impressions don't necessarily mean anything.
No.
And second impressions don't necessarily mean anything. But third and fourth and fifth and sixth impressions are sort of where the crux goes when it comes to television.
There's got to be, because I think a lot of it is like there's got to be a narrative beat where you say, okay, this is, because again, we've talked about the pilot being the one where they had to pitch the show. So that's got to be big, that's got to be bold.
Yep.
So there's got to be a narrative beat where the average fan would say to a non-watcher, this is the exemplar of what you would get on average.
Right.
Watch this, and if you don't like this, you don't like...
Then don't watch the show.
So for me, again, like Flash, I would say episode 4, a lot of fun. Like episode 4, episode 10, Community. Community episode 7 would be the first one where I say, look, go ahead to the Halloween episode. You have to see Abed being Batman.
Right.
If that doesn't get
you... That doesn't do it for you, then...
Yeah, walk away.
Yeah.
Or episode 10, which is the one with Green Day.
My favorite episode of Community will always be the Dungeons & Dragons episode.
It's fantastic.
But yeah, you do have that sort of idea of like, you know, for me, there's a couple of episodes of Lost where I kind of go, you know, if you're not into that episode, like for me, it's Locke's story.
Yeah. And
if you're not interested in his story,
And then again, don't you watch can think show. Of that for anything. You can think, look, this is the example.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the shows that I've gotten into during, you know, the period where streaming TV wasn't necessarily an option, yep. and you're just kind of seeing things come on the TV in rotation. I think a lot of the shows I've ended up watching have been because I've hit one of those episodes. Right, and that convinced me to keep going. Like, I remember trying to convince Tristan to watch The Next Generation. The first episode he saw was Riker participating in a play, but actually being in an insane asylum on an alien planet.
And now, I was just like, knowing Tristan, did that make Tristan continue to watch it or stop watching
it?
No,
he was done.
But well, you know, the first episode of The X-Files I ever saw was the ICE episode. Are you familiar?
No. I've never watched The X-Files.
I can't... For a man who believes to be the third largest nerd... Well, I guess that's only D&D nerd. So there's this episode... He got the elastic band back. Please, God. So there's this episode where they go to... They're at this remote ICE station where people are basically going crazy and killing each other. And they find... So you know all the things about this episode.
Yes.
So that was the first episode of The X-Files that I saw.
Okay.
And I was hooked for that idea. I was like, this is amazing. There are other episodes that if I had to come in on those, I'd be like, I have no interest in this show.
Yeah.
Like, there's lots that, you know, don't do anything for me. So I think that's true. I think there is that kind of like, when did you come into this? And did you come in at the right time?
Yeah. I think there was something to be said, though, for, like, serendipitously dropping into a series. And that's...
Yeah.
That we've lost. And, I mean, yes, you get more of the narrative consistency and the impact the authors are going for, and that's a good thing when it's something they can deliver in that vein, but, you know, if it's going to be something like How I Met Your Mother, where they're just going to screw up the end anyway.
Well, think about it this way. Let's take, for example, the show Riverdale.
Okay.
Riverdale is a show that I think you and I both were pretty excited for.
Well, that's not a word I'd use there, but I...
You were watching it.
I was watching it, absolutely.
And you don't watch a lot of things.
Nonsense.
You actually don't watch a lot of things.
Nonsense.
You also do not watch a lot of things. So I think you and I both... Here's the thing I think actually made Riverdale not as successful. Was actually that they treated it like a non-streaming show. Like, they said, we're going to have a weekly episode.
With Try to Be Cliffhanger-y.
And it got to the point where you're like, yeah, we don't care.
Yeah.
Like, we're not interested. If you had to put that out as a binge season, more people, I think, would have watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because you would have said, well, I can do it right now. I might as well. You know, I think that setting up seasons for binging allows you to be a little lazier. It doesn't have to be as good. Because people are lazy, and if they can just let Netflix... If every four episodes they can tell Netflix, yes, I'm still watching, please leave me alone, they will. Whereas before, you had to sort of, like... There was a time where you had to make a conscious decision to be at home on Sunday nights when X-Files was on to watch
it. I mean, it was pretty easy for me to be at home on a Sunday night.
Sure, for you. Some of us had things to do.
Yeah, look where that got you.
Married to a hot doctor with two kids?
With two kids.
They're lovely kids. They were great today.
Just today.
Only today. But you know, there was this point where you had to be home to watch these things.
Yeah.
And that no longer is the case. I mean, not only do you not have to be home, but now, like, if I want to watch a sporting event, I just have to have my phone on me.
Yeah.
If I want, you know, it makes for laziness to a certain extent because you can be anywhere at any time and do these things. And I think the shows that have done... I would be interested to see what some of those shows would have done. Of course, there's no way to know, but what would that show have done if it was streamed, even though it wasn't? Or what would that show have done if it wasn't streamed, even though if it was? Like, what would House of Cards do? I mean, House of Cards, I think, is a great show, so it would have done well.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it would have done as well as it did if you had to watch it every week.
I think it would have.
If you couldn't just...
Because I think that would be like The Sopranos. Like, HBO still uses that model. And they still do it very successfully. Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Game of...
They build hype.
Yeah, I think it can. I don't know. I think for some shows it probably works. And for some shows I think it probably wouldn't. And it probably would have. I think that there are... like, Stranger Things comes as a binge, right?
Yes.
And I really like it as that, because I just... You crave wanting to watch
it. Would have hurt to have to do it week by week.
It would have been... It's not a fast-paced
thing. It's a slow burn.
And many episodes end without any major cliffhanger. many episodes end with just like, well, he's over there.
That second episode did work.
What's the second episode? Oh, right. You see, I mean, that's a prime example of like, we made a better episode two than we
Spoilers, Barb gets ganked. Don't worry, she's fine. She's not fine.
She's fine in Riverdale.
She's Ethel in Riverdale. I think that's the opposite of fine. You get pulled into another universe where you're the least liked female character.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So,
I guess to close it out, I'd say it's important to know that you shouldn't watch Final Space. It's really dumb.
Final Space is a great show. You have two choices to take here. You can take the advice of a man who is me, or you can take the advice of a man...
I should point out that he couldn't come up with any adjectives to describe himself and landed on a tautology in its place.
Is me. Or a man who has repeatedly dropped things on camera, if you will, today, and also shot me with a pen earlier today.
So in other words, you can take the advice of a man who will shoot you with a pen if you don't do what he says.
He is an unstable
man. Or a man who can't even keep control of a rubber band when it's in his possession.
Do not listen to him. I think that, you know, I think it's fair. I think that most people probably wouldn't like Final Space. I really enjoyed it. I think it inserts itself into a space where I wanted something.
A final space.
A final space that I wanted, maybe, I guess. But no, I think that one of the interesting things for me as I'm getting these new shows is if they fill a particular need or place, and there are shows that don't. So, you know, Dark for me, if Dark was on at the same time as Stranger Things was on,
not a chance.
There's no way.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm like, okay, I'm waiting for Stranger Things. This other show came that can fill that void. And for me, Final Space, because I'm a Netflix guy, filled the fact that Rick and Morty isn't on Netflix.
Yeah.
And so for me, I was like, well, I'll watch this show. It's not as good as Rick and Morty. I wouldn't remotely say that it is.
Yeah.
But for me, it sort of filled a particular need that I had. And I think the other thing, too, is that unless you want to die alone, maybe watch shows instead of just Wikipediaing.
Yes, that's the criteria.
Story.
That's how it works.
And then you'll enjoy it. Anyways, I'm Mike Tanner.
I'm Laird Smith.
And we hope you enjoyed this episode of Mostly Spoilers.